The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's producer number nine, so much more than a producer, Kelly Bidlin in the house.
What's up, Broseph?
Broseph. Always loved Broseph. How you doing, man? You good?
Doing well.
A little more than 24 hours away from the draft, the NFL draft, that is. And we got Drew Dinsick on and Luke Swain, Vegas Refund, on the show today to discuss all things NFL draft. And let me just say this. We were all over at the beginning of the show yesterday when everybody was going crazy about that Will Levis Reddit post, and we immediately said, sorry, it's BS. I think we said it more articulately than that, but that's what we said. And that appears to be the case. But we'll get into what the latest is, because one of the scenarios, which is Bryce Young first, then defense at 2 and 3, is the betting favorite right at this moment, which is one of the scenarios we spelled out. So we'll talk to both of those guys about that and all things NFL draft. Mike Pritchard will join us as well to discuss that. Will Hill with his baseball picks and basketball picks of the day. See if he has any draft thoughts as well. And oh boy, in studio for the first time ever, he's been a guest on this show for 6.5 years, has never been in studio, Dan Weston.
First time ever
in studio.
Wow, okay.
The man lives across the pond, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
But the Madrid Open is happening, and he's got thoughts. By the way, I have two tennis picks here that have yet to go. We lost our Claire Liu yesterday, had three picks today. Sasnovic already hit as a slight dog against who was she taking on? She was playing Svitolina this morning, and she was a +12 winner. We have two more this morning. If you're interested in some tennis action, those two plays, and Drew might have some as well, but Dan certainly will at the end of the show. I am on Yastremska on the ladies' side over Eugenie Bouchard. Diana Yastremska is the pick on the ladies' side. And then Hami Munar, although the Munar one is way past the price I got. I got it at -120. It's all the way at -149. I wouldn't play it there. If you can get it at -135 or better, shop around, then I would play Munar on the men's side over Kokkinakis. So it's Yastremska and Munar, but Munar price dependent. Okay, let us begin. There they are on the screen right there. Those are the prices I got them at last night. But again, Yastremska you can get at -120 still. But Munar is kind of out of whack. See what you can get. Chop around on that. Sasnovic already a winner in straight sets this morning. Okay, which brings us to the National Basketball Association. What a day today this is in the NBA. You couldn't ask for a better quartet of games. Three games where teams are down 3-1 but are on their home courts in Game 5. And then the Warriors and the Kings, Game number 5, series knotted up at 2 apiece. We're back in Sacramento. Warriors favored by 1.5. De'Aaron Fox says he's going to play. He plans to play is the sentence. But let's go back to tomorrow. Let's go back to yesterday first before we get to today's. Three games where it was 3-1, and the team with the three in the series, in the best of seven series, the team that had the three games looking for the gentleman sweep closeouts, were all big favorites. All three games ended up super tight. Two of them eventually get there. One does not. The one that does not, the Boston Celtics, the first of the three, Kelly. I don't know if you saw this coming.
Nope.
Did the Celtics end up as 14-point favorites?
Yeah, so they closed it.
Oh, my goodness. They lose outright to the Hawks, 119-117. They led by 13, the Celtics did, with 6 minutes left in this game. Led by 13, 109-106. A 23-8 finish by the Hawks. More succinctly, with 5:24 left, it was 111-99. The Celtics were up 12. The Hawks went on a 12-0 run to tie it at 111 apiece. And then down 117-116 with just over 7 seconds left. Trae Young brings the ball down court, steps back from 30, splash. Celtics cannot respond with 1.8 left in any reasonable fashion. Pardon me. Hawks win it 119-117. First time the Celtics have ever lost a playoff game in Boston when leading by 10-plus points entering the fourth quarter. That's amazing in the storied history of the Boston Celtics. Not once had they lost a home game in the postseason leading by 10 or more heading into the fourth quarter. By the way, it was worse than what I'm sort of describing, because along the way, it included a tech that was called on Jason Tatum after a Al Horford foul at 113-111. Boston was up 113-111. Al Horford fouled Trae Young, and then Tatum sort of bats the ball out of bounds casually. They tee him up. So that was an extra point for the Hawks because, of course, Trae Young hit all three free throws. And then maybe even more egregiously, the Celtics retake the lead. They're up 115-114 with 16 seconds left in the game. Trae Young is just past the timeline, just past half court. And Marcus Smart, like he tries to steal the ball and then he dives on Trae Young and then complains that he gets whistled. And Jaylen Brown literally mouths, why did he foul him?
Yeah.
Like if you read lips, why did he do that? And the Hawks go on to win it. Trae Young, 38 and 13 assists. Out-rebounded, the Hawks were by 9, but 46.3% from behind the arc. 19 of 41. Didn't miss a single free throw. 10 of 10. The Celtics missed 6 free throws. And honestly, that's the difference as well. You just want to go to the stripe. But you go 19 of 41 from behind the arc, you're going to win basketball.
Yeah, games. I was going to say, Atlanta finally with a great three-point shooting night. I mean, they're going to have
to. You called that. You said it would happen.
Yeah, I thought they would take one or two off them. You know, going into that game last night, I wasn't high on the Hawks. I didn't think without DeJounte Murray, I mean, they did this all without DeJounte Murray,
yes,
too. Like, I mean, it's incredible. Them going in there, though, it kind of felt like, you know, they were dead on arrival, ready for vacation. But no, I mean, put up a good fight. They switched up the starting lineup. They put Bogdanovich in that starting lineup, deciding to go really offensive heavy in the starting lineup. Worked out pretty well for them. But Trae Young was incredible.
Hawks are still 12-1 to win that series, to win game 6 and 7. Would you bite on
no.
it? They're trying. We talked about this yesterday. Historically, only 3 teams in the history of the NBA have done what the Hawks are trying to do, which is come back from a 3-1 deficit while having 2 of the final 3 games not on your home court.
So, it's one of those, like Tatum, 19-8-8. He had a terrible game. You don't say that about many players, but that's, you're just not off with the defenders that Atlanta have, the wing defenders and the very averageness of them. You're not gonna escape getting bad games from Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum very often. Brown obviously had a big game last night, but Tatum only 19 points. That's where Atlanta struggles, and that's obviously the strength of the Boston Celtics. So, I don't know. I mean, this will be interesting coming back to Atlanta now. Who knows? Maybe things get a little tighter.
Who knows? Brown, 35-7-5 in defeat. The other two games were also super tight. They were double-digit, you know, favorites in both the Nuggets and the Suns. But, man, were they tight. T-Wolves led the Nuggets 27-12 in the first quarter, led by 15. Nuggets had come all the way back to lead by a point at the half. It was 104-104 with under a minute left. Jokic misses, gets his rebound, misses again, gets a rebound, makes it. And then on the other end of the court, Anthony Edwards misses, and Jokic shoves Gobert. No call, of course. And he scores on a circus shot, fouled by Gobert, makes the free throw. 109-104 was academic from there. T-Wolves did have a shot to tie it, actually, on the final shot down 3, but Edwards' 3 clanged off the back of the rim. Murray, 35 for the victory. Jokic messing around with the 28-17-12. Edwards, 29-8-7 in defeat. T-Wolves did shoot 50.6% from the field, but in the end, the Nuggets advance, and they're going to take on the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix looked like they were coasting in to the clincher in the gentleman's sweep against the Kawhi-less and Paul George-less Clippers. Suns led it 128-113 with 5 minutes left. Clippers scored 12 in a row to cut it to 128-125, then got it to a 2-point deficit on 3 different occasions with the ball in the final 3 minutes. One was a missed layup by Westbrook in transition, but 2 missed a 3 on another one, and then Powell just with a terrible turnover on the third. Suns win at 136-130. Devin Booker, 47-8-10. 19 of 27 from the field, 4 of 7 from behind the arc. KD with 31. Suns shot 54.3% from the field. So we have finally now, Kelly, our first second round series, a Western Conference semi, if you will, intact. And DraftKings had put this number up already. It has settled in. The 4th seeded Suns, -140 favorites against the #1 seeded Nuggets. Do you think that is the correct price, sir?
I think it's a little bit off. I lean to the Nuggets side on that for sure. Don't know if it's going to be a bet for me, but we talked a little bit about this yesterday. I don't think there's any reason to go bet it now. That number keeps moving in the Suns' direction. So I might end up with a piece of this. I have a feeling this series, though, will be more of a game-by-game betting scenario for me.
Tonight, though, and we're going to talk to Drew about this on the other side, but tonight is, again, 3-3-1 series where the home team, team that started with home court advantage, has the one win. We're talking about the Cavs against the Knicks, the Grizzlies against the Lakers, the Bucks against the Heat. The Bucks, unbelievably, down 3-1. Not unbelievably, because the math is correct. But when you look at it, it's startling. Only a +115 series proposition. The Bucks down 3-1. They are 11-point favorites in this game. Can we just show that Heat stat muse, that graphic for a second? This is how ridiculous it's been with the Heat. The Heat, who, by the way, don't have Tyler Hero and don't have Victor Oladipo. Poor Oladipo. Playoffs. Look at this season. The Heat, 25th in, what is that right there, Kelly?
Offensive rating.
26th in field goal percentage, 27th in three-point percentage, first in all three of those categories in the postseason.
It's silly. It's why people like myself keep bashing their head against the wall night in and night out, betting the Bucks in some fashion. I'm back on them in the first half, at least tonight. Laid 6.5 in the first half. I'll see how this game plays out. Full game, I might end up getting there on. I doubt it, though. Probably first half is the bet I have now, and then I'll probably play it in-game if they somehow drop down big in the first half or something. I'll jump in.
Very interesting that you say that. Carl Sack, who's Dr. Bob's NBA guy, NBA guru, is play Bucks first half today.
There we go. Like it.
You and Carl Sack. You have any other NBA picks? We'll get those on the other side. That was it for you.
Yep.
Okay. Drew Dinsick, I'm sure, has some. We'll talk to him about his Grizzlies as well. And the NFL draft next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander still to come. Luke Swain, Vegas refund on the NFL draft. Dan Weston in studio to talk tennis. We've never met Dan in person before. Looking forward to that as well. Will Hill, Mike Pritchard, and Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join us now. We will talk NFL draft with him. We want to start with the NBA. Drew, of course, at @whale_capper. And he's the host of not only the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor, but also, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. Drew joins us now from the LBC, as the cool kids call it. How you doing, man?
I'm well, man. We're big day in the NBA today.
Massive.
Four games. Not exactly sure what happened here with the scheduling, but so be it. We'll take four on a Wednesday. That's fine.
Well, better today than tomorrow, yeah. Right? That's for sure.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a very good point.
Better today than tomorrow, because none of us would watch this tomorrow. But today it is, as Drew was saying, it's about as great of a schedule as you can have. And let's just do these chronologically tonight. The first of the 3-1s. There's 3-3-1s, and then there's the Warriors and the Kings at the end of this. But the Cavaliers, playing for their basketball lives here in this season. They are 5.5-point favorites against the Knicks. They're down 3-1. The Knicks have dominated this series. Julius Randle has not even been a part of that. What do you think about this game? Totals at 202.5.
Yeah, the Knicks have been amazingly impressive over the balance of the series. I expected the longer the series went, the more things were going to tilt in the favor of the Knicks. And then to see them jump out to a 3-1 lead was incredibly impressive. Their defense and the contributions they've gotten from Mitchell Robinson have been sort of the unexpected piece. But I would say that Cavaliers, and in particular Donovan Mitchell, look likely to have a pretty spectacular game tonight. There are some very specific ways you can really attack this Knicks defense, particularly if you switch your ball handler onto Jalen Brunson. That's been a super effective way for the Cavaliers to make up, make some noise offensively. So ultimately, lean Cavs at 5, lean over at 202.5. Ultimately, I played Cavaliers team total over 103.5.
There you go. Played Cavaliers team total over 103.5. And you want no part of the series price on the Cavs at 4-1, not touching that?
No. I think the Knicks ultimately get this done in 6. There are, I looked hard at it, I'll be honest. I really did. But there's too much of an issue as you go down that roster. If this gets game six, game seven, the Knicks probably have, in my opinion, they have a couple more adjustments they can make. And in particular, the home crowd in the Garden on a Friday seems like the end of the series to me.
Okay, game two tonight, which tips off a half an hour after the Knicks-Cavs does. So the Knicks and the Cavs are on NBA TV. Lakers-Grizzlies tips off a half hour after that on TNT, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. And this is the series that is, the most impactful for your account here. You were all over the Grizzles. We had the Ja Morant injury. He came back. Grizzlies, though, still down 3-1 after LeBron with the high off the backboard layup to tie it at the end of regulation in game four. Otherwise, this would have been knotted up. They win it in overtime, the Lakers do, so that's the predicament the Grizzlies are in, playing for their lives. They're 4-point favorites now. This has gone down to 4 tonight, 221.5.
Yeah, interesting market movement here. Not what I love to see at all. hanging on by a thread here. Very, very much underwater with all my Grizzlies series in pocket. And that was a very, very unsatisfying ending to game four. Seeing a 7-point lead evaporate because D'Angelo Russell makes three kind of miracle threes was a tough watch. The Grizzlies effectively, giving up the backbreaker to send it to overtime and then, kind of running out of gas in overtime was a really, really rough watch. Now, I don't know that the Grizzlies have the fighting spirit to claw back into the series one way or the other, but I do know that in general, there are a lot of warning signs still with this Lakers team being able to sustain winning. I think the Grizzlies get the win here, but I've kind of put myself on suspension from betting the series.
I was going to say, you're not going to take a flyer on the Grizzlies at +650 because you're already too invested. But if somebody were asking you right now, hey, should I have nothing invested, would you say, hey, I might take a nibble of that?
Yeah, I mean, a team like the Lakers, like especially Anthony Davis is obviously dealing with some sort of injury. His performance has been pretty weak this entire series. They're getting it done with fluky stuff from Austin Reaves and Rui Hachimura and D'Angelo Russell and Jared Vanderbilt. Like that, at some point, if all of that runs out and this is all on LeBron's shoulders and the Grizzlies get anything more offensively out of JJJ, if they can get, kind of consistent performance that we saw from Desmond Bane going forward, then I do think the Grizzlies could get back into this one, but I haven't taken any serious bets on them.
All right. Bane, by the way, with 36 in game four. And yes, what Drew was referring to is 97-90 Grizzlies with 5 minutes left and then back to back to back from three from D'Angelo Russell to turn that game around and make it as competitive as it was. All right. Game three tonight is the Heat and the Bucks. Now, this is the most surprising of all of them. We just went through, metrics on the Heat during the regular season versus them now, rankings-wise, and it's just unbelievable. The Heat, who got stomped by the Hawks in the 7-8 game and then came back from the dead against the Bulls in the game for the 8th seed, and here we are. Now, I don't have access to these numbers, the 3-1 history of NBA playoff series, but I would imagine the Bucks at +115 to win the series is about as short of a shot there has ever been for a team down 3-1. And that makes sense based on what these game lines ought to be. The Bucks are 11-point favorites tonight. Kelly already said he's playing the Bucks first half. What are you doing?
That's a good look. I hadn't really thought about that. I definitely think that the Heat are going to have a difficult time creating offense tonight. There was some concern and some just in general kind of rumor mill going on around Giannis's health after that game four. I'm guessing that he will be in better physical shape for this game than he was then. And I would expect that the Bucks defense can absolutely make the key adjustments they need to prevent Jimmy Butler from going nuclear. Like, honestly, if you can keep Jimmy Butler into the 30-point range in this game, I don't see how the Heat are breaking 100. The supporting cast for this Heat team is so poor. I am absolutely shocked we are here. I understand anyone who is kind of sitting on any kind of Bucks price that they took before game four. I think that, a convincing win here does a lot to help your equity. But they have a long way to go. I did play Heat team total under 103. And sorry, let me double check out what price I got. Yeah, Heat under 104 -115 was the best bet I could get on this game. And again, I'm kind of largely expecting that the Heat, use this game much more as an active recovery and then try to close the door in game six. But yeah, Bucks still live to come back in the series. Would expect that Drew Holiday has an improved performance here. He's been well below expectation in terms of offensive contributions. And, you know, if you can do a little bit better in terms of, keying on Jimmy Butler here, I think the Heat are going to struggle to score.
Heat under 104, best bet that Drew could get. I'll shop around for the team total price on that. And, I should probably say the Heat are minus 140. It's just out there for people to take. All they got to do is win one of the next three. I wonder how many people are actually biting on that.
Nobody.
Nobody.
That's incredible.
Not one person. somebody's out there biting on it. All right, and then the finale tonight, the only series that's knotted up at two apiece. Both teams have won both on their home court in really different ways. Warriors are 1.5-point favorites on the road in Game 5 tonight against the Kings. De'Aaron Fox says he plans to play. We'll see to what level he's able to play with that finger break. Your thoughts here?
Yeah, I think the Warriors get this one, and that's not my best bet for the game, though. Price is pretty fair. I think Warriors being small favorites here. The De'Aaron Fox injury absolutely matters, not just in terms of what he's going to be able to do on the basketball court, but much more so the way that they have succeeded so far in the series has really been him initiating pace. And if for whatever reason he's impacted at all in dribbling in terms of kind of just getting the offense initiated, I could see this one slowing down to a degree. Even more than that, like I thought game four was pretty misleading final score in terms of just how good the defense was for both of the teams, particularly like specifically matchup defense, I thought was pretty key. The Kings are starting to develop a pretty keen sense of how to get the Warriors out of their base stuff that's super efficient. The Warriors made a lot of wild shots in general. I think the Warriors stumbled into a key adjustment in the second half of that game where you saw a lot more of Draymond Green on Fox. I would expect that is sort of their go-to for a lot of this game, because if you can just annoy Fox and make it that much tougher for him, besides the fact that he's dealing with a broken finger, I think the Kings are going to struggle here. So under 234.5, I would play all unders in this one. I think this is going to be a very low scoring game relative to market.
Under for Drew on that one. All right, we'll come back. See if Drew has any tennis picks. We'll start there. We'll see if he thinks the Nuggets Sun series price is more or less accurate. And then we'll immediately, after 30 seconds of that, go into the NFL draft. The favorite now is Bryce Young, then defense. Does Drew think that is finally accurate? We'll find out on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, I'll say. For a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, the Kentucky Derby, and the upcoming NFL draft tomorrow night. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil, it's Kelly, it's Drew Dinsick at Whale_Capper from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. Real quick, Paolo Banchero wins the NBA's Rookie of the Year. 98 of 100 first place votes, 494 out of a possible 500. So some almost a year, not quite a year, but 10 months since the great draft of Paolo Banchero at number one, he wins the Rookie of the Year almost unanimously. And then Drew, we haven't had a chance to congratulate you since Mike Brown won Coach of the Year, did we? Congratulations. It finally happened. So are you moving from the LBC to Laguna now? Is that what that's going to happen after that windfall? Are you like, wow.
No, but I did book a trip to Croatia this fall.
Oh, so nice.
He's going to pay for my vacation.
All right, let me follow up on a couple.
Thank you to Mike Brown.
Thank you, Mike.
A lot of questions.
What were your numbers on Mike Brown again? Just to brag a little?
I had 100 to 1. I had 100 to 1, 80 to 1, and 60 to 1 at the three different places I could get a bet down.
Is that good, Kelly?
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good?
It's pretty good, okay. Yeah. It's not bad.
Solid.
Any tennis today, real quick?
No, but I'm watching Madrid carefully. It's a fascinating tournament because obviously you're in the middle of the clay swing, but it plays the fastest historically. However, what I've seen so far, it's playing a lot slower than expected. So players, I had a couple of long shot flyers like on Jess Pegula to do well here. She obviously was a finalist last year and lost to Ons Jabeur, who was out of the tournament this year. She got a pretty good draw, I think. She can win that second quarter. It's going to be a pretty entertaining tournament. On the men's side, I don't think anyone can touch Alcaraz on this surface, on considering the speed here. He looks like he's starting to build some form, and I'm not sure if you've seen, but he's now your market favorite to win the French Open,
yes,
which is amazing.
Yes, I did. He's -110 to win this tournament. I've played that. You would play that as well?
Yeah. That's a nice little parlay piece. Yep. I don't think you're going to get a huge stake on that, in the blind, but I think Madrid's going to be a fun watch, and just in general, I think the men's side is less dramatic than the women's because Iga's amazing, but I think she can be had at this in these conditions.
How dare you? Nuggets -140, correct price? Oh, excuse me, Suns -140 over the Nuggets, about what it should be.
I don't think so. I think the Nuggets should be favored there. I'm going to take some Nuggets series here. And I don't think it's an easy, obvious play or look, but this is one where this to me spells long series. I think the Nuggets can. The Suns, that was like the most uninspiring 4-1 I think I can ever remember.
it really was.
Beating the Clippers. Like every single game, the Clippers felt like they were right in there, and they were doing it without their two best players for the majority of it. That was very weird. In general, the Nuggets are going to get torched. These games are going to go over, probably. But at the same time, the Suns can't defend Jokic at all. Ayton is playing horrible defense right now. At some point, Monty Williams is probably going to have to lean heavily into the Bismack Biyombo experience. And really, just every adjustment possible that I see for the Suns sounds horrible when I say it out loud. So I think Nuggets are the right side here.
All right, let's do it. NFL draft. Right now, and I misspoke before the break, I said Bryce Young defense. What I meant to say was right now the betting favorite is Bryce Young to go number one. It is, as we called on the podcast, and you did on yours as well, it looks like Tyree Wilson is the short shot to go number two now to Houston, and Paris Johnson becomes the short shot then to go number three to the Cardinals, then Will Levis would follow from there. Do you believe that a little more than 24 hours from the draft's beginning, that is actually what's going to happen?
Gil, I do not. Now let's kind of go back in time. You brought Paolo Banchero winning Rookie of the Year, and let's just pat the Orlando Magic on the back.
Yes.
That was a great pick, guys. Like amazingly well done. You really nailed it. Well done. And I have as much at stake in this draft as I did on the NBA draft, but I can only win about a 10th as much. So I'm really not as invested in terms of what ultimately happens this year, one way or the other. But I think that the Texans taking a defender, the Texans' interest in Wilson, the Texans' interest in Anderson, I think all of that is smoke. I think they either trade that pick or they take a quarterback. Ultimately, I don't know whose decision this is. I don't know if Casario is kind of making his last first draft pick for this organization or if this is like a fresh start considering they've kind of reshuffled the org chart there. But whatever the case is, I know that Texans coming out of this draft without a sincere answer at the QB position is not an option. And whether that means acquiring a player via trade, like we talked about on your pod, with the potential for, picking up a guy with some experience like Mac Jones, or whether it means, taking Will Levis, who's QB2 on almost every board I've heard of across the NFL right now. I don't really know which direction they go in with there, but I would expect that Levis is the second player off the board. There's some good prices out there. I'm going to think about this all day today. I'm going to watch the market all day today. You can still get a pretty decent sized bet down on exact pick number two at Circa. They close their market at 5 p.m. All the draft capital I'm willing to expend is probably going to go into that market right before it closes, assuming that we don't get confirmation one way or the other before that.
Okay. So you just alluded to it. I want to bring this up one more time because I started a numbers game this week with this. You're right. We did it on the Beating the Book podcast, but I gave you full credit because you did it on yours before. This is the Mac Jones rumor. So here's, again, we were the first to like slam the Reddit rumor about Will Levis yesterday on this show. But here's, this is just gaining a little bit of steam. Here's the Pats draft rumor, just to reiterate. And this is from a post where somebody said yesterday, told me that a friend is hearing, I love that, New England has the parameters of a trade in place with Houston. New England would receive the second pick in the draft in exchange for the 14th, a 23 fourth rounder, that's this year's fourth rounder, and next year's first, and Mac Jones. Now, Anthony Amico, who works, I want to get this right, he works at Establish the Run, or Dynasty League Establish the Run. He's a staff writer at Football Guys. He said, this actually doesn't seem crazy. Mac probably a great fit with Bobby Slowick. Gives Houston more ammo for 2024 if he stinks. Could leave the draft, this is Houston now he's talking about, with a QB, Bijan, and an edge rusher. Pats get to start over with the division stacked. Clear relationship damage there with Bill and Mac. You don't believe this is outlandish, do you?
I definitely don't. Now, like, the podcast and the content game is funny because, like, when we're a week and a half out of a draft, I'm really just reading tea leaves and trying to come up with what makes the most sense. And we did this with the Paolo thing too, where, you know, you just kind of, you put the pieces together, you say it out loud, and then, you know, you wait for feedback. And sometimes the feedback is, dude, you're an idiot. And sometimes the feedback is, who told you that? And the amount of who told you that I got from the, you know, floating this sort of theory was eye opening. So I do not think this is nonsense. I'm pretty sure, or at least I would say with high confidence, that an offer is on the table. Now, whether the Texans look at that offer as viable or not, I have zero clue. The Texans literally could, you know, but you know, when Bryce Young solidified as the choice for the Panthers at one, I think it was pretty obvious that the Texans solicited trade offers for the two from pretty much everyone in the NFL. That's not really a secret. So, yeah, they have offers on the table for that pick, and I'm pretty sure that those offers are to come up and get Will Levis. No one's making a move up to two to get a defender. Sorry, guys. I don't know if you didn't already have that figured out. But the you know, so whether or not they accept it is different, but I would definitely expect that Houston, if they have had any decision to make, you know, it's been, do we accept this Patriots swap or do we just take Levis for ourselves?
Levis to the Patriots, or Patriots drafting a quarterback first. Let's make it clear, as high as 8-1 in some spots still. Some of us have that bet. Okay, now, real quick, because we got to run, but in the last minute here, someone's landing on the draft right now. They don't have a single bet. They, like, I want to make a bet. What's the bet that's out there now they should be making?
Levis exact number two.
Levis number two.
Look, everything is speculative nonsense so far this cycle. It's been very weird. You know, typically you catch news of 10 or 15 kind of hot plays, because across sort of the well-connected community, you know, the best way to get, if you have true blue concrete information, you know, the best way to get liquidity is to know somebody like me. And I can tell you that this cycle, for whatever reason, there just has been nothing. I think that speaks to the well-kept secret of what the two pick is ultimately going to be. It's attributable to the fact that everybody expects the Cardinals or could trade out of three, but if they don't, they don't really know who they're going to take. And so there's no concrete info, because I don't think a lot of teams have really made up their mind, because they just don't know who's going to be available.
Don't know who's going to be available. Would you take a modest net positive right now if I gave it to you on the draft?
Without question, yes. Yes, without question. I wouldn't sell any of my positions, but if you said I'll give you 5% ROI, I would walk away from the table probably.
Thank you, Drew. Mike Pritchard on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotion subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Smackish, who was listening to the Beating the Book podcast, NFL draft preview with Drew Dinsick and Matt Brown and myself. He said, Gil, great podcast, but next year, please do it earlier, close to concurrent when you guys are placing your bets. The NFL draft podcast is a really difficult one to time because you can't do it too early because we all see what's happened, forget every day, different hours of every day. Yeah. And then you can, he's right, Smackish is right, you can't get it too close to the draft because then it becomes ridiculous also. So it's a really, it's either, I mean, we did it on Monday. Drew did his on Friday or Thursday, I think, last week. That there's a sweet spot somewhere in there. But I don't think you can ever get it right.
There's not a perfect. I don't think there's a perfect answer.
Yeah,
I don't like think so. I get what he's complaining about. Like it's only a couple days before the draft. But then if you did that like 2 weeks ago, you'd be like, why are you doing a draft pod like this early?
That's true. NFL draft expert, tired guy, says for me there wasn't enough Lombardi yelling at Drew that he he doesn't have Belichick's phone number or Kyle Shanahan's email or whatever in this year's edition. We loved having Lombardi on. I wish he would come back on there. Let's see here. This is from Oh, okay. We'll just read this one. This is from so a lot of people don't buy the Patriots rumor. He said SG. This is from Go Fast Troy. Why would the Texans want Jones from the Pats? Defensive coach, build the D line like the Niners, then go for Williams next year for QB. Mills will get them a high pick again next year. And honestly, how much better is Jones over Mills? Yeah, but again with the whole wait for Caleb Williams things. Everybody's saying, oh, Caleb Williams is better than this draft class. Well, everybody last year said this draft class of quarterbacks was better than last year's. You can't keep kicking the can down the road. And there are a lot of organizational ties. Casario to the Patriots and their offensive coordinator, Slowick, to the San Francisco 49ers, who ostensibly had traded down last year to get Mac Jones, if you believe that. So there is reasons for that, for that rumor to actually, you know, make sense. And then let's see here, Robert, last one here, Robert's B01, he says, rumors, my friend who knows says that Matt Brown will kick regardless of weather and Kelly will drink outdated eggnog and Gilly will mention a sushi joint. Bet it all. Bet it all. Ladies and gentlemen, none of us have actually been drafted except for this guy right here, Mike Pritchard, everybody. Our own Mike Pritchard, VSiN host, who was kind enough to join us as well. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Drafted well, by the way.
Drafted well. We should point that out. Yes. You were drafted well. Can you, honestly, let's do this one last time, because I'm sure this time of year like brings back memories for you. You got calls from who, and then ultimately were drafted by someone else, correct?
Right. So the calls I started to receive was at pick 9, right around, I think Detroit was on the clock, and they drafted Herman Moore. And then I started getting calls from the Cowboys at 11. You had the Giants that was further down the draft. I want to say they were around 18 or something like that. The Steelers were around 15, and the Atlanta Falcons that was hovering around 13. So they anticipated to run on wide receivers, and that's what happened. And so, man, for about an hour, a little bit over an hour, you know, because of picks, because of 15 minutes between each pick, you just don't know what's about to happen. You just know that your life's about to change. And mine was certainly receiving those calls in my drawers in the middle of my apartment.
Mike's family wasn't ready for it. He was just in his drawers.
I was just going to ask, too, what was he wearing on draft night? Yeah. I guess it was that. I guess we covered it.
Yeah, that's it.
And I asked you this before. So in the end, you get drafted by the Falcons. Herman Moore at the University of Virginia, by the way. Yeah. Alvin Harper ends up going to the Cowboys. In the end, as you look back on your football life, do you, you know, because if you're Alvin Harper, you win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Instead, you get the better deal, I would imagine, because you got drafted earlier. Are you okay with that in the wash?
You know what? I am. I think the competitor in me, I mean, to go to the Cowboys, nobody knew at that time the Cowboys were going to turn into that dynasty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, coming off a national championship, you know, I'm a champion. I know that. But understanding that free agency was about to happen, understanding that, okay, the Dallas Cowboys, they wanted to do a pre-draft deal. In other words, they wanted me to sign for 4 years. But we wanted to sign. We were adamant about signing for 3 years because we knew free agency was right around the corner.
Yes,
and
was.
So that worked out. Mm-hmm. That worked out from a business standpoint. And I had another opportunity. I was with the Broncos, and Mike Shanahan came in there, and there was a chance to go on a run again with another dynasty team. It just didn't work out. But, you know, I was definitely pleased with being in the league for as long as I was in the league and playing. And certainly, you know, my family has benefited. So, yeah, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. But to deal with the fact that I missed out on perhaps Super Bowl runs with the Cowboys and the Broncos, I look at my national championship ring often.
Often.
Yes.
As a coping mechanism. All right.
So it is a coping.
So your draft was a run on wide receivers. You have come on this show many times now, and you have said, I believe there will be a run on cornerbacks here. Right now, the favorite or the short shot to go six is Devin Witherspoon. The favorite to go seven to the Raiders is Christian Gonzalez. Let's call that a mini run anyway. You think that's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the fact that you got Joey Porter Jr. there too, you know, this is a guy that's a physical specimen. And, you know, to be a physical specimen like that, 6'2", runs a 4.4, and has the acumen too, I think there's a lot of attraction there. And there's some other guys out there. Once you start to see these defensive backs, these elite defensive backs come off the board, that's going to lead some of the teams within the draft, within that first round, that's looking for secondary help. And I think there's a lot of cornerback needy teams, defensive back needy teams, just because of the drafting of the wide receivers that we've seen. I mean, I think as a defense in today's football, in today's NFL, you have to go at least three deep in order to feel secure covering some of these receivers in the league. And then also you got to have the ability to stop the run too. So we know that. But no, I think there could be a run on defensive backs. Everybody's talking about the quarterback position, which normally that's what's going to lead the draft in the headlines. But to me, there's some teams in the middle of the draft, towards the end of the draft, that can really get you know, good in a hurry. Sauce Gardner, right? Patrick Surtain the second. Tyreek Woolen, even in the mid rounds. I mean, I think defensive back is just a sought after position. And also teams can get cheaper there too. So you're seeing the Jalen Ramseys and all those guys, a little older guys that are jumping around now. And so I think the league is about to reset that position.
All right. I mentioned this yesterday that, you know, for such a, and you're a former wideout, of course, so this is in your wheelhouse, for such a pass happy league, and for the run on wideouts that has occurred in the past few drafts, many of those picks have come to the most awesome fruition possible for teams. I'm looking at you, Justin Jefferson, and others. This seems relatively quiet by comparison, which is really interesting. So you think it's Jaxon Smith-Njigba first as a wideout? If he's first, who's second?
You know, it's up in the air who's second, because Quentin Johnson has the catch radius that you like, but he's a body catcher, so that negates his size, right? I think this kid, Zay Flowers, is a gadget guy. I mean, he's a punt returner mostly. Jordan Addison has an upside too, but it's going to be about fit and that unique situation, I believe. Smith-Njigba should be the number one wide receiver off the board. I mean, he's a compliment to anybody's number one out there.
Who picks
him? So extrapolate
that. Who do you think grabs him?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, you look later on in the draft, you look at Houston. I mean, they could certainly use a guy like that later on in the draft. You know, New England always needs a wide receiver too. Baltimore has been talking about trades, but they could use a guy, a compliment number two, just to take the pressure off. You know, Pittsburgh, I don't want to see that. I don't see that in Tampa either. Seattle's got another pick. There's all kinds of places where Smith-Njigba could fit in as a true number two. So, I mean, that's the wild card, right? But he's head and shoulders above everybody else. And so it's all about upside. Like Hyatt from Tennessee, I think he's got an incredible upside, but he's not being mentioned in the first round. So to me, he's going to be like a steal in that second round. There's a lot of receivers I think that's going to surprise people once they start to come off the board.
All right, Mike, enjoy it. A little more than 24 hours away. I'm ready for them to just draft it already. Let's get this done.
Get it over with, right? Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. Have a great week.
And let's hope these guys are better clothed than you were at the time of your drafting.
No doubt. Absolutely. Let's get after it.
Mike Pritchard, everybody. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
Mike Pritchard. M.I. Pritchard on the old Twitter machine. We'll come back. Luke Swain, Vegas refund. Where does he stand now, a little more than 24 hours before the draft? Will Hill, Dan Weston, it's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.